Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, there has been a fascinating debate on trigonometry hosted by Konstantin Kissin between Ralph Heidel Mankiw and a gentleman by the name of Kehinde Andrews on the subject of the psychology of whiteness. And they almost dare to look at the forbidden issue that we can't discuss in a certain place. They almost look at that. Almost. It's fascinating to watch them skirt round it, to almost dare to go there. But of course, they can't quite trigger quite that much. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch this debate and I'm going to commentate on. I'm going to look at it, and some of this I should imagine will be on YouTube, and some of it, I'm afraid, will have to be on my Substack, free on my Substack, because some of my content on my Substack is behind a paywall for you lovely boys that want to help support me, and other of it is simply free, perhaps for those that can't afford to do so, but or don't want to. But it's going to be there. So I'm going to look at this, and it truly is a, it's fascinating to watch. So let's go. It's 1 minute 18, by the way, of a video entitled "Heated Debate: Slavery Reparations." So 1 hour 18, and colonialism.
But can I ask you one thing before we wrap up? Because you talked a lot about this kind of psychology of whiteness and whatever. Do you think there was something very particular about Western Europeans that made them do the slave trade, that made them behave in the ways that they did?
That's a good question. I mean, it's all about different minds, yeah. Maybe that's why they're different
Do you have a theory on what that is? Then you're happy with about it, aren't you? Yeah.
Well, there we go. Different minds. I would not say different minds.
No, but I'm asking you, why do you think it happened that way? Because I guess the argument that I'm thinking about is, I mean, I personally have to say, I don't know enough about it to really make a judgment, but I'm surprised to hear you say Africa was more developed. I'd always assumed that the reason the Europeans did what they did probably wasn't because they had some different special mind in that way. But actually, it was because they just had the technology, they were more powerful, they were wealthier, so they could do this in a way that actually everyone would have done if they were in a position to. So I guess what I'm getting at is, would Africans have colonized Western Europe if the shoe was on the other foot? Or do you think there's something special about white Europeans that made them behave in that way?
I see. So I'm so tempted to give a different answer to this question, but I'm really not. I'm gonna play nice.
Okay.
I think that when you look at
I'm so tempted to give a different answer, but I'm really not. I'm going to play nice. So this implies that this bastard is, as it were, a bad actor. He believes that in the idea of the white devil. He believes in the idea that white people are somehow inherently evil and they do evil things. That's what he really thinks. And he has no reason other than emotion to say that. But he's not going to do that. He's going to play nice. What a kind of manipulative take. Extraordinary that such a man can gain such a following, and frightening that he can do so, because he's obviously not motivated by reason, as is evidenced in him saying something like that.
This is why the West is, when I say the West, it really does mean going to the West, Europe going to the West and finding the Americas. The Americas are such an, it unlocks so many things. It's not a coincidence that America is the richest part of the world. It's like, that's the key that unlocks everything else.
Okay.
And I think you have
that,
to.
That doesn't make any sense at all. That's just pure reduction. I mean, there have been many cases of, in the past, of high civilizations, the ancient Greeks, the ancient Romans, that didn't have any connection to the Americas, and they managed to become very high up without any connection to the Americas. In historical terms, so I don't see how that point can be realistically argued. Is he saying we wouldn't have had? Well, anyway,
to be honest, and say, well, who's the ambassador to the first guy, Columbus, Christopher Columbus, who goes over there, is one of the most violent, insidious people in the history of human life, right? Who from, and this is midpoint estimates, and this is all estimates, but the midpoint estimate of when he goes to Hispaniola, what's now Haiti. Dominican Republic. The midpoint estimate is he goes there and there's 8 million people, and this is the midpoint. It might be lower, it might be higher, I don't know, but the middle estimate, and that's 1492. When he eventually leaves in 1512, it's estimated that there are 20,000 people left. There's a huge decimation of life when Europeans go to, because, and largely it's disease, but it's not just disease, it's man-eating dogs, it's working people to death. The genocide in the Americas generally is the largest genocide in human history. It's up to 65 million people And this is...
Hang on, what's he saying? There were 8 million people on the island of Hispaniola. That seems a very large amount for the time. 8 million people on the island of Hispaniola alone. I'm almost inclined to just kind of look this up in real time. What's he saying? America, population, 1492, around 60 million people. Hispaniola population 2 million. So he's talking rubbish and he's exaggerating by four times the population of Hispaniola and no one's picking him up on it. No one's challenging him. He is pulling numbers out of his hat. It's absolute nonsense.
I've read this and I was shocked. Apparently, the world actually cooled because so many people died, they were producing less greenhouse gas emissions and actually reduced the temperature of the Earth. So that if you think about the fan might be lower, might be higher, I don't know, but the middle estimate. And that's 1492. When he eventually leaves in 1512, it's estimated that there are 20,000 people left. Right, there's so it's a huge decimation of life.
Rubbish.
When Europeans go to, because it's a large disease, but it's not just disease, it's man-eating dogs, it's working people to death.
Man-eating genocide, dogs. Again, they don't pick him up on this. Is this correct that we brought dogs that eat humans alive? Is this what he's saying? We brought dogs, or rather the Spanish, Portuguese, brought dogs that eat humans while they're alive, and that was a significant factor in the death of Native Americans. And they just sit there and take this because it's such palpable nonsense that what can you say?
Genocide in the Americas generally is the largest genocide in human history. It's up to 65 million people. And this is...
I've just checked. It was about 60 million people that were estimated to be living there and 65 million of them died. This is just truly brilliant.
I've read this and I was shocked. Apparently, the world actually cooled because so many people died, they were producing less greenhouse gas emissions and actually reduced the temperature of the Earth. So if you think about the founding place... So the West is the Americas, and the founding, the how the West...
Total, absolute nonsense, because the West would have to have been a relatively high standard of development by historical standards in terms of navigation and shipping to make their way to America in the first place, or at least they were to make their way to that part of America rather than to the part which they could get to via the North. So it's quite astounding to say that the West was founded on America. The discovery of America was an outgrowth of the nature of the development of the West. And also, I suppose, with the fact that I did a study on this with my colleague Ken Yakura, that European people seem to be extremely high in a kind of curiosity factor. So not only are they high in intelligence and high in in-group ethnocentrism because they are high in cooperation, high in agreeableness, high in conscientiousness, relatively low in neuroticism, so they can get on and cooperate and build things, but they also seem to be high in openness, highly curious, in a way that genetics indicate, because there are alleles associated with this, that East Asians, for example, are much lower in.
Took over the Americas was the largest genocide in human history, a violence and disregard for life. And then where do they go to find the labour after they work to death?
The largest genocide in human history. This is palpable nonsense. If they're dying, as most of them did, because of European diseases to which they were not accustomed, then this isn't genocide, is it? It's not deliberately killing people. So again, you have this emotive, manipulative use of language, completely untrue and unchallenged.
Natives. They go, oh, we've got this African slave. Let's go and enslave Africans. Let's turn them into non-humans.
Yeah.
Those are the two. So if you were to say, yep, that barbarity, that anti-blackness, that racism, white supremacy, that's the difference. 100%.
Okay. And well, again, that doesn't make any sense as an argument. It's completely unparsimonious. Africans have been being enslaved long before that by the Arabs and indeed just more locally via that trade network, via the Europeans. So it's palpable nonsense to say that the discovery of America set off the enslavement of Africans, when this sub-Saharan Africans, when this had long been happening. Moreover, sub-Saharan Africans had long been enslaving each other. They're not a united group. They're many different tribes, some of which are very genetically different from other tribes.
Allows everything else to build.
So what I'm asking, though, is do you think that if West Africans, let's say, they had the ships, they had the muskets, they had the gunpowder, they had the various different types of technology that enabled Western Europeans to go over to the Americas and do what you're talking about, right? Do you think that if the West African tribes, perhaps some of those more aggressive ones that enslaved other Africans, if they had all that technology and they went over to the Americas, do you think they would have behaved differently because of their different culture and background, or do you think they would have done the same thing?
I think evidence says they did behave differently. Like I said, there's evidence that the Africans were in the Americas at least a thousand years before Europeans. So I think certainly the case would be that, yes, there is a difference.
Why do you think that is?
They would behave differently. They enslaved each other to an incredible degree. Europeans purchased or bartered slaves from specific African tribes in Dahomey that had been taken from other tribes. And we know what the African Americans did when they founded Liberia. They enslaved the local population. So they behaved literally in America in exactly the same way. And indeed, there were many cases in the southern states of African Americans who were freed, who then held slave plantations themselves. Pick him up on these things.
I'm not going to sit here and speculate it's because there's something better about Africans than Africans have a superior morality.
It's just the way that when you talk about whiteness, it's implied the way that white people think or white.
So I want to be clear here.
Okay.
That I am not. See, it would be very easy for me to sit here. Malcolm's my favorite person, Malcolm X, right? Say, look, what is up? The devilish nature of the white man. It just shows. And people say that all the time, right?
Right.
I'm actually saying that whiteness is not a bad.
You don't agree with that?
No, I don't think all white people are devils. That have okay. No, I don't.
Was that remark earlier where you said, "Oh, I could say this, but I'm going to play ball and be kind and say something else"? You obviously do agree with that.
I think that. We can debate what could have happened, what may have happened, why it was, but the reality is that it was that carnage, that racial exploitation that was necessary to create the society we have, why we have whiteness.
I'm not challenging.
I can't tell you why, but I can tell you that is.
But what I'm asking you
is why we have whiteness. So whiteness is an outbirth of some kind of loathing, and it didn't exist beforehand. This is obviously a complete nonsense. What he calls whiteness is a genetic cluster. As a consequence of isolation and endogamy, which is separate from another genetic cluster that's relatively close to it, i.e. being North African or being Arab. That it's a genetic issue that precedes anything else. And even the ancient Greeks, there was an interesting study on this, noticed and talked about race differences. Even the Egyptians did. You can see on the preserved walls of the temples, they paint people and draw people differently. They notice the existence of different races, and the correlation between the race in anthropology and genetics is about 0.9.
Think about, for the purposes of this guy, I think it's really important to this discussion, right, is you talk about whiteness. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to extricate that from white people. It's mm-hmm. difficult for most people, at yeah. least listen to this, right? And it's sort of implied within that that the way whiteness operates is worse than the way other things operate, right? Mm-hmm. And what I'm asking you is, do you think if Africans had the same ability to dominate the native population of the Americas, would they have behaved the same or different?
All right, so yeah, I'll be clear on this. No, I think when I say whiteness is an idea, and that is an idea that has come from Western Europe.
Yeah,
that is an idea that has been used to dominate the world.
It's not an idea that's come from Western Europe. This is absolutely preposterous. When there is field work that has been done on the Bushmen of the Kalahari, the Bushmen have three words, I can't pronounce them, for three different kinds, because they involve clicks, for three different kinds of animals. Animals animals that we can eat, and dangerous animals that eat us. They categorize Europeans and black people as dangerous animals, animals that can eat us alongside lions and whatever. They categorise Japanese people, when Japanese anthropologists have been there, as us. And that is because they can see the resemblance between the Japanese and themselves. Narrow eyes, yellow skin, even the Mongol spot at the base of the spine when babies are born. For some reason of coalescent evolution, they can see, they understand these things.
Was a necessary feature of doing it, because sure. Africans went to the New World and didn't do this. So yes, there is something
specific.
But they
didn't have the same technology.
Okay, that's absolute crap. Ignorance, pure ignorance. We went to and didn't do this. You went to Liberia. First of all, you as African tribes went to other parts of Africa and did this. So this idea of the Africans as a homogenous thing is insane. Africans are extremely genetically diverse, and there are many, many differences. The huge difference between the Bantu and the Nilotics, for example. Huge difference between them genetically. The Bantus moved out of Western Africa and dominated other parts of Africa, including Southern Africa, and enslaved the people there, enslaved the Pygmies, enslaved the Bushmen, and so forth. We know that to be the case. So that they went within Africa to a different race, i.e. the Bushmen or the Pygmies, who are not Negroid, they are Capoid, and they are very genetically different from them, and they enslaved them. And secondly, when they went to Liberia, they enslaved other Africans, and others within America, but when they were slaveholders, and they enslaved the local native population. This is preposterous.
Muskets,
when Europeans came,
which before, they had
massively more technologically advanced.
There's
a reason why the Portuguese don't have slave plantations in Africa. They can't. They can't do it. So it's not the case that Europe's first impact, Europe first just comes into Africa able to control. It's not the case. It takes a long time to develop.
The jury's out on that, but there is.
The jury's out on that. They didn't come in and control, did they? The area were controlled by the more developed African tribes, the more... shall I use the word? African tribes, who were therefore able to dominate the other ones.
If they had the technology, of course they would have been the same. I mean, idea that you didn't have terrible bloodshed happening and prejudice and the same sort of issues of racism happening within Africa. I mean, of course you did. If you look in the Central Africa, you had the Bantu were persecuting the Pygmies and killing them.
Yes.
If you look in Ethiopia, you had the Bantus themselves were the victims and being persecuted. In Somalia, the Abyssinians were murdering and hunting the Shankela, who are Nilotic Valley people. And this is not about whites.
Exactly. This guy knows what he's talking about. They have distinguished between the Bantu and the Nilotic, who are quite separate, even in their bodies. One is mesomorphic on average and one is ectomorphic, i.e. One is muscular and one is not. Yes.
Supremacy. I mean, when African slaves were taken to Islam, to the Arab world, they were regarded as the lower social strata because the prejudice is there. Same thing with the Chinese and the Tang dynasty, who of course regarded African slaves as the Kunlun and were frightened by them. So this idea that something is unique to the West and unique to white people is simply not true. What is interesting, of course, is the exploration ethic of Europeans, which you don't find
Exactly. And we did a study on this, and there were certain alleles that are associated with basically curiosity, with exploration, and they are extremely high in Western Europeans. They were intermediate in Finns, who have East Asian admixture, of course, and they were very low in East Asians.
China had a massive fleet. Its ships were far better than European ships. It never discovered the Americas. You don't see the exploration that you saw within Europe, again, because of the distinction of the Western mind and that whole concept of exploring.
Now you can shake your mind. There is clearly a distinction. I've talked about this as the genius strategy, that other groups will be high in ethnocentrism, positive ethnocentrism, and high in negative ethnocentrism, depending on how harsh the environment is and all kinds of factors. So Africans, for example, sub-Saharan Africans, Africans are low, are high in negative ethnocentrism, but they're not very high in positive ethnocentrism because it's an unstable, live fast, die young ecology. So you don't evolve to cooperate with people. You don't need to cooperate with people. Cooperation might not be paid back. So you're not very cooperative. You're not very positively ethnocentric, and you might divide into tribes. And even then, you're not positively ethnocentric, and you're highly negatively ethnocentric because what's the point? What on earth is the point of cooperating with people that are genetically different from you? Absolutely none. Then you go to the Northeast Asians. The Northeast Asians are very high in positive and negative ethnocentrism because the flip the problem with not being like that, the problem with tolerating within your ecology people that are low in these traits is the criminals and whatever. And this is just too much for people out there. They can't cope with that and they will be destroyed. Now, what we have with the Europeans is a wonderful Goldilocks zone where you can tolerate people like that and there's sufficient genetic diversity within the population to create, on the one hand, yeah, the criminal underclass, the dreamers, the weirdos, the left-wing people, but on the other hand, to create geniuses that are moderately antisocial combined with outlier high intelligence, which is possible because you have a larger gene pool than you would have in a harsher ecology, because you need to be really, really strongly evolved to a harsh ecology, a very harsh ecology, or you're dead. And this allows a genius strategy, which allows you to expand, and you have these people, these individuals that are very high in curiosity, and this allows the group to expand, and this allows the group to become what we see. This is precisely true.
In developing was very much fundamentally a European concept. You know, it's amazing, for example.
Now look what he's doing. Look at the method of debate. So this Ray, I admire this fellow, Rafe Hadel Mancu's calmness in this situation. I do. I admire it. Look at what he's up against. He's up against a very manipulative form of debating, where the guy's not listening carefully. Rafe has listened carefully to this Hinde guy, but he is not listening to him. He is shaking his head. He's basically trying to put him off. He's trying to, you stupid person. He's conveying with semiotics, you stupid, stupid person.
Individuality and the Anglosphere. So the first person to walk the length of the Nile was an Englishman, and that happened about 10 years ago. Imagine that, after all the thousands of years, the first person to walk the length of the Nile was an Englishman. First person to walk the length of the Amazon was an Englishman.
Also,
one second.
How do you know this?
What? In recorded history.
What a preposterous question. So that's the fallacy of appeal to incredulity. He said, well, I don't believe it. What's he suggesting? The guy is just making it up? I suppose he could suggest that, because we know from earlier that he has made a load of things up. So maybe he assumes that this Rafe fellow's going to do the same. Unbelievable.
So you don't know?
Well, I'm
you
sorry.
Don't know.
We do have records.
Records,
yes.
But you actually don't know.
Well, nobody...
No. He does know. He knows in so much as we accept that the historical record is not falsified. Absolutely incredible.
Well, nobody who was African or South American has done it, at least within the last 300 years of recorded history. And the first person to walk the length of the Yangtze was a Welshman, again around 10 years ago. Now, that's in China with an ancient civilization. Why did no one from China think about walking the length of the Yangtze?
Why did they use gunpowder as for fireworks rather than for weapons? Often, in fact, these kinds of people, Finns included, actually, because the Finns innovated, a Finnish-speaking Finn, innovated the text message without understanding its potential at all. because they're low in curiosity.
First person to walk around the world and run around the world, American and English. Same thing with Everest and so forth. There is a uniqueness to the West in the idea of exploring and discovering, which you don't see elsewhere.
Now, it's skirting around it, though. Isn't it interesting? And I understand why Rafe is doing this. And I think these people know this stuff. They know that there are... They know, they understand, of course they do, that they're and of course there are, because races are and in some fast, if you're interested, I've looked at this in various books, but this is I just am amazed, and I guess perhaps it's a test that he can not, this Rafe fellow could not lose his temper.
Reason why you develop,
so your point
empires.
Is the British love a walk, I get it.
now and there's a bit of tension in the room. And the socially skilled fellow in the middle thinks, oh, that's not very nice. And even he thinks that Rafe is just wiping the floor with this man, humiliating this Andrews fellow, showing him up to be the sort of the, I wouldn't even say midwit. I mean, probably what, 105 IQ? I mean, just not very bright chap that he is, that for some reason has a substantial following and is on trigonometry. He's being humiliated. And so let's stop this. Let's end the tension so we don't feel bad, we don't feel guilty that the silly person has been made to look very silly.
I do want to come back, because I actually did, there is something specific about European rationality which is the problem.
Tell me.
So there is, when and I think, and again, you don't believe me here, but you can't really separate whiteness from this. And so Descartes, I think therefore I am, is really I'm white and therefore I am. In fact, you've given this argument a bit today. There's something different about Europe, that we're not the natives, we're not Africans, we're not this. And that allows this separation of mind from body, which you actually don't see around most of the parts of the world. So African tends to be
the Chinese realistic. Think they're different. The Japanese think they're very different.
Even with the Chinese, if you think about the relationship to the earth, you think about there's something about European rationality, the distancing of it, that allows not just with people, but with the world, with the earth, with the look at the actual world is going to be destroyed. See,
that may be true. Even when I think of Finns, it's much more a kind of hive mind. And the focus of Europeans on guilt rather than shame. And I think Finland is much higher in shame than guilt. It's a shame culture. There's been a number of studies on this. It's a shame culture. They care what other people think of them. They care about being humiliated in the eyes of other people. Whereas guilt is an internal thing, it's an internal awareness. It's that you feel bad that your own standards of what you think you should be like are let down, which implies a mediation on the self and a very strong sense of self. Although, interestingly, there are studies indicating that the sense of self is higher in blacks, to the extent which would make sense in an individually or individualistic culture that doesn't select for being group oriented, to the extent that blacks are much more likely to have lucid dreams, where you are aware that it's a dream within your dream. And this itself correlates with actually antisocial personality traits, which imply a strong sense of you, I am me, these are the boundaries of me, and this is what I want. And it's as though white people are, they have that element of a fast life history strategy, perhaps, and otherwise a slow life history strategy, which is very interesting. Although, on the other hand, the guilt and feeling a sense of guilt towards others would be a slow trait. So I don't know. It is an odd point.
Destroyed by Europe, like literally going
to the Chinese thought they were superior to the whole rest of the world. They stopped developing because they thought they had reached peak civilization.
I'm not saying Chinese. No, this is not about superiority. Japanese are superior.
Right.
I'm talking about the separation of mind from body. You don't see that in Chinese culture. There's a much more holistic version of what the person is. When you separate mind from body in that way, you can then distance yourself from certain atrocities in the way that we do. Like today, people, like 9 million people die from hunger today because of the West. And we're going to go, okay, the exploitation of the
poor. No, let's challenge that. I mean, most of the world is only alive because the West developed fertilizer after World War One. So they wouldn't exist, these people, were not for the West.
Earth, in a way that is actually going to literally destroy the Earth. There is, I agree.
Again, don't challenge him. Don't challenge him on this preposterous statement. It's going to literally destroy the Earth. Do you understand what that means?
Unique about that in Western rationality, which is deeply problematic, which allows us to kill, to maim,
and
to destroy
the
world.
And improve,
and actually going to end the world.
Do you know what? We were so close to a point of agreement there, because you were both agree. And actually, maybe.
Okay, that's fascinating. And it's fascinating that trigonometry would get someone and confine someone who is so low relatively to other people in IQ, and is able to come on there and put such ludicrous points. But they almost looked at race. They almost looked at race differences in psychological traits, in evolved psychological traits, almost. And they almost looked at why or how whites have these differences. So that was extremely interesting, chaps. I'm very interested. That was fascinating.
Are you ready for the future of the West?